Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Sheila Crawford. Just a reminder that all of our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net, a plethora of knowledge that we anticipate you will share with others. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, we praise you as the God above all gods. You alone are worthy to forgive our sins and fill us with your Holy Spirit to light our way in this encompassing dark world. And if there be even one person listening right now who needs your righteousness, we pray their hearts be open to accepting your salvation. We pray for the healings of those who are called by your name, especially our recent prayer request, as we beseech you also for the salvations of our loved ones. May you will be blessed with tonight's message, and we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. And thank you all for tuning in. Well, last week we gave a simple overview about Purim to encourage you, yourselves, to read the book of Esther. For this week, we will be revealing some gold nuggets about this miracle, as all the feasts are amazing miracles of God.
That's true, and no one can deny that.
We also explained last week the difference between Easter and Passover.
Archived on our webpage.
And we will be expounding on the spring feast next month.
The true anniversary of Christ's death and resurrection.
That's right. Yes, the 8 days of Passover is this year from sundown on April 22nd through the 30th, ending at sundown.
Always Nisan 14 to 30 on the Hebrew calendar as recorded in Leviticus 23, verse 5 through 14. So, any important news to start us off tonight?
You mean anything meaningful?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, well, a ceasefire in Syria is trying to be maintained, and there has certainly been a lull in the bombings for now, with the hopes of a peace truce when another round of meetings in Geneva happens. Remember, it's all about the underground pipelines.
Yeah, so ultimately, who controls Syria will own the pipelines.
That's right. Either Shia-backed Iran, Hezbollah, with Russia, possibly in China's help, or the Sunni, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Jordan, covertly Israel, and the United States with its proxy armies of the Free Syrian Army, and ISIS too. And we know this because Turkey buys their confiscated oil, which is why we haven't bombed their stolen oil fields.
I tell you, it's all such a scam.
Yes.
Isn't our Vice President Biden in Israel today?
Yes, he is. Actually, he's trying to make nice after Obama denied last month Israel's yearly military package, saying, oh, we just don't have the funds. Remember that? Well, that was probably just a ploy. So Biden could come in and save the day, where Israelis would love him and the American Jews as well.
And why is that important?
Well, because he's kind of waiting in the wings to jump in, you know, like the presidential race, when or if Hillary gets indicted. And again, this is all the elite's call. So Joe is ready just in case certain behind the scenes criteria is not met.
A lot probably hinges on who the Republican nominee is.
Yes, and if that is the case, Biden will benefit a great deal from the Jewish vote.
And by looking like a savior to Israel would do it.
Right. And you remember we thought it odd at that particular time for Obama to say he was withholding Israel's funding. But now I know it was a setup for Biden, just in case Hillary doesn't come through on whatever secret requirements she was told she must comply with. Washington politics, for sure, is so corrupt. Everything is fixed and pre-authorized. And, you know, even the Old Testament addresses this quite often, especially in Isaiah. And even in this very first chapter, he said, well, you can read that.
Your rulers are rebellious and companions of thieves. They love bribes and follow after rewards.
Yeah, so even in the Old Testament, that's still happening today. People are people, human. But anyway, it is the elite's chess game, and they love making questionable moves and taking risky chances. And if they lose a few pawns and maybe a bishop or a knight along the way, no problem.
Yeah, often they just delay the game and move the date.
Of course. And ultimately, though, the dates have already been set by God to fulfill his prophecy and his timing.
They just don't know that.
That's right. Now, if all that makes you feel small in such a big game, rejoice, for we win in the end.
Yes, we go from a pawn to the queen really fast.
In fact, in a twinkling of an eye. And I must comment on this. Pope Francis met with the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, I think that was last month, with Patriarch Kirill in Havana to discuss rejoining their faith since their split almost 1,000 years ago. It appears after 3 kisses, they did patch things up, signing a joint declaration. Of course, that's no surprise, since Scripture tells us that all religions will join together and be one, Revelation 17. But a reporter took a very revealing picture of the two that speaks 1,000 words. And maybe he didn't realize it, but there was a skull and bones symbol, which is a secret society, and it was attached to the wall directly behind them, engraved right under Jesus' feet on a large crucifix. Very visible. So what do you think? Secret societies, especially this one, are under the Illuminati, and I believe they answer to Rome.
Yes, indeed. Don't forget about the Vatican. All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are still very much needed and are greatly appreciated and automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. We'll be back in Mentor on March 24th.
That's right. It'll be on Purim. And we might have some Hamannstashen.
I'm glad you said that word. Oh, those three-cornered cookies that look like a Persian hat.
Yes. And we'll look at some gold nuggets hidden in the Book of Esther, like what we're doing tonight, only there we'll have some visual handouts for you, too. And, you know, that's what Shofar Ministries' main goal is all about, trying to stir up the church to look for buried treasure. So you will receive more jewels at the Bema Judgment in heaven when we get our rewards.
Malachi 3:16-17 speaks on this when the Book of Remembrance is opened.
Mm-hmm. Also, I must point out that Paul in Hebrews chastises the church for staying on milk. And then he even lists the milk subjects. Let's read that because I hear often, this is what I hear. Oh, she's way over my head, so therefore I won't listen at all. Well, shame on you if you think that, because it's the same as saying, I don't want the deeper truths of God. when that should be our goal as the bride of Christ. So, Dan, can you read Hebrews 5:12-14?
I would love to. For thou, by this time, you ought to be teaching others. You still need someone to teach you, again, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use or habit have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
That's right. He was saying, for though by this time, you know, there comes a time when you got to get off the milk, and discernment comes from studying the deeper truths of God. And there it is, right there in the Word. In fact, he goes on in the first three chapters of Hebrews 6. Maybe you could read those too.
Okay, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits.
That's right, when it's necessary. But we don't need to dwell on the fundamentals. We got to move on. Well, here's a taste of that. Here's a taste of that. This gold nugget I'm going to talk about tonight, I was shown about 20 years ago by one of my mentors, who is now with Jesus, that knew Hebrew. And even though I only know the letters, honestly, and how to spell just a few things, this gold nugget that we're going to talk about tonight was one of the reasons that I knew the Bible had to be inspired by God. Because only he could do this. And so therefore, it pushed me to want more of his word.
And we pray it will increase your desire as well.
That's right. You know, and I say this a lot, remember what Proverbs 25:2 tells us. God conceals hidden matters in his word. But it is our duty to search it out. And why is that? Of course, it's because he wants us to grow spiritually by spending time in his word. You know, our Jewish forefathers knew and taught and quoted that the highest form of worship is the study of God's word. I have to agree with that. Okay, just a quick overview of the story is how an unknown Jewish Esther married a Persian king who had a wicked prime minister named Haman, where the people even bowed down to him, except Esther's older cousin Mordecai, which infuriated Haman. And so he made plans to annihilate Mordecai and all the Jewish people in the entire empire. Esther found out and arranged a couple banquets where Haman was exposed and soon hung on the same gallows that he had built for Mordecai. Then there's the battle that the Jews had to still fight because the king couldn't rescind his ruling once he had proclaimed it. But he did give them ample weapons of defense. And instead of being defeated in battle, they actually won. So the Jews were spared, and Satan's attempt to rid the world of all Jews failed again. Now that's just a short snippet. But it's a great historical story, full of intrigue. I hope you'll take the time to read it. All right, now let's get into that steak. In my last newsletter that recently went out, I do give some visual coding that's hidden in the book of Esther. Now, you can just go to shofarministries.net/newsletters for the March 2016 edition, or you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I will send you a paper copy and add you to the list for paper copy recipients, which we have a few. I know not everyone has a computer. But like the name means, the Book of Esther has many hidden stars beneath the surface. Yes, God's name of Yahweh, as well as the I Am, can be found in what we call acronyms. An acronym is where you take the first letter of, say, 4 or 5 consecutive words in a sentence or a title to give a shorter version of its meaning. And we do this quite often, right? Like an example would be NATO, which stands for North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Another is WAC, which means Women's Army Corps. And of course, the obvious ones are the USA or the EU, NAFTA. Well, I think you get the drift. And I have taught many times how the acronym on the cross in Hebrew, remember it said Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You can read about that in John chapter 19. In Hebrew, the first letter of that saying is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is God's name, Yahweh. You see, Jesus claimed his godhood in the acronym of what was written on the cross in Hebrew. He was declaring himself God. That is so amazing. It's just amazing. And we see this as well in the very first sentence in the Book of Esther. In verse 20, where it says, let all the wives give honor. Well, when you look at it in the Hebrew, and you can do this if you have an interlinear Bible, which I recommend all students have, so you can visualize some of this Hebrew writing. But the acronym spells out Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Again, Yahweh. I also found it again in chapter 5 of verse 4, going right to left in the phrase, let the king and Haman come today. In the Hebrew text, there you have it, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. It's amazing. We see it again going left to right in chapter 5, verse 13, where it says, this is no gain to me. Again, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And still again in chapter 7, verse 7, when Haman realizes he is doomed, going right to left where it says evil was determined against him, you got it. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. This is fascinating stuff. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. We also see the acronym of I Am, which is the very name God used in Exodus when he announced he'd be delivering his people from Pharaoh. And now, once again, delivers his people from the wicked Haman. In chapter 7, verse 5, where it says, he, this is the one, is the word Hey Yod Hey Aleph, which means I am. Okay, you want more gold nuggets? Let's change gears and look at some equal distant letter sequence, or it's called ELS. This is where you have the same amount of letters, in Hebrew of course, between the next correct letter to spell something very significant. Now, an example of this is in chapter 1, verse 3, where the name Mashiach is actually encoded, which means Messiah. And, of course, before I go on, you all know what the number for Jesus is, right? It's 8, which means never-ending for eternity. Well, after every 8th letter, from right to left, in chapter 1, verse 3, you pick up the next letter in Mashiach, starting with the letter M for Messiah. In the word reign in Hebrew, and going forth 8 letters to the next letter, you get Sheen, and then 8 more letters to the Yod, and 8 more to the last letter, Het. And you have Mashiach. And you have to practice with this a little bit, of course, and do need an interlinear Bible. But for those of you that have really gone deeper, that might be listening, this will be a good challenge for you. In chapter 4, 17, we see Yeshua counted every 8 letters from left to right, beginning with the Yod, Sheen, Vav, Ayin in chapter 4, verse 17. Then in chapter 4, verse 2, we see El Shaddai spelled out every seven letters. Yod, Dalet, Shin, Lamed, and Aleph. And this is kind of humorous. You got to pay attention to this. In Esther 3, 11 and 12, when the king is speaking to Haman, starting with the first hey in Haman and counting every sixth letter, it actually reads, Haman and Satan stinketh. Can you believe that? Haman v. Satan re yak. That's what it says. Every sixth letter. Well, anyway, even if you don't get this, it certainly does help you to know that only God could have written the Bible. And that's really what he wants you to see, which is why he does this. And many of you know how in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1 and counting every eighth verse, again, that's Jesus' number, begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And there's 22 Hebrew letters multiplied times 8. That's 178 verses of Psalm 119. It's just absolutely amazing. I just get so excited. Do you see how this great book could only have been written by God? Man could never do all this. My question is, why don't more Christians study their Bible? They are missing so much, and one day we'll regret it. That I know. Another interesting nugget before we close is, did you know that all languages flow toward Jerusalem? Some languages go from left to right, as in us, while other languages go right to left. So, countries east of Jerusalem go right to left, like Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, Sanskrit, Asians. But nations that are west of Jerusalem go left to right, like our English. Such an amazing God. Let's just give him all the praise. Well, I have to say, this is a quick half hour, and if you're listening out there, and if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, what are you waiting for? Pretty soon it'll be too late. He's coming soon. We know that for a fact. The signs are all here. He's coming to set up his kingdom. These are going to be great days. So I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing in number 6, 22 through 27. Yiverekeka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'inuneka, Yasa Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Again, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, get alone in a room, get down on your knees, repent of your sins, because that's a form of deliverance right there. And ask him to come into your heart. Time again is just running out. And you want to be able to go in that rapture. So until next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. There's no doubt about that. And that you can read in Psalm 122, verse 6. Join us next week. We'll be talking more about Purim, a little bit about the spring feast. And I hope that you will tune us back in. See you next time.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.